time we'll have a sermon from God's Word. If you please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Pray with me. Our great and powerful Lord, we thank you for this great promise. We thank you for the great peace that you give us in Christ Jesus. And we ask you now, Father, that as we explore your word, that you would move in us. We ask, Father, that you would cut us to the quick and that you would be glorified as our hearts are transformed, as we find our joy and our peace in your grace. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I was hiking at night across a train bridge. Not the wisest of things to do. And as I was traveling off in the distance, we heard the dreaded sound of the horn. A train was coming in our direction. As I tried to inspire my friend to move more quickly, they simply couldn't navigate themselves across the railroad ties because far below was the Ohio River. As things got more intense and as we saw the light of the train approaching, we decided that we had to climb down inside of the train trestle to avoid the train and avoid discovery. And once we were there, I found something that I had never expected, this sense of dread. You've heard trains roll by. Have you ever had one directly over your head? The noise was intense. The noise was terrible. The bridge, this thick iron bridge, began to vibrate and to shake so dramatically that we feared that we would be shaken right off of the bridge and fall and fall and fall to the dark river below. And I remember looking over at my friend, clinging to this I-beam as our world shook. I've often been criticized for not telling how the story ended. They didn't fall. But in those moments, in that moment, we were filled with such a fear and such a dread. And I looked at my friend, and the way that they clung to that I-beam is the way that we must cling to the promise of Christ. Because there is nothing, nothing else that will rescue us. Nothing else that will save us. It is our only joy. It is our only peace. This grace that comes from Christ. So this evening, as we examine this word, the call for you is simply to embrace this peace. To embrace the grace of this gospel. For it is the salvation of your soul. As we begin on this journey, we look at the first passage, and indeed we'll only be dealing with the first two verses. Paul, and we have the question, who is Paul? Well, Paul is one who has been redeemed. Paul is one who has been rescued. If we were to look and examine the scriptures and look at the history and the story of Paul, we start off with seeing a man who was a villain. We see a man who is coming after the very bride of Christ. A man who is inflicting pain and sorrow and misery on the one who had been purchased. The bride who had been loved. The bride who had been redeemed. And we also see a man who was rescued from his villainy. We see one who looked and saw Christ himself. Some of you will know the story. As Paul rode on or walked on the road to Damascus, and Jesus Christ himself appeared to him with such splendor and such glory, a light that shone brighter than the noonday sun. And Paul was struck to the ground. And from here, we see a villain whose life was renewed. From here, we see the man who had been called Saul, given the name that he now uses, Paul. And you and I are such people, if you are in Christ. You are those who have been the villains. You have been the criminals. You are those who warred and fought against Christ, who fought tooth and nail against God. But you who now trust in Christ, is a bright light that shone, that should have engulfed him and consumed him. The light that should have been the very fires of hell for him was the light that convinced him as he heard the words, I am Jesus, whom you have been persecuting. And we see a man renewed. We see a man who becomes a child of God, and we see a man who now brings to you the message of peace, a message of grace, a man who no longer fears being destroyed by God or man, and he brings this redemption to you, this peace to you, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, Paul, an apostle. We ask the question, what does it mean for a man to be an apostle? An apostle is a sent one. But we look, we see that he is an apostle of Christ Jesus, one who has been sent by Christ Jesus. Now this brings a special authority. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, we see that Jesus gave his apostles the authority over demons, the authority over the fallen angels. We see that he gave them the power and the authority to heal every disease and to heal every sickness. In John 14, 26, God gave the apostles the power to remember everything that Christ had said. So an apostle brings a special weight. An apostle brings a special authority. As you may, I'd have you ponder for a moment the idea of authority. The authority is the right to demand something of someone. When in my days at seminary, several times wrestling matches broke out in the seminary, and one time downstairs outside of the dining area, this wrestling match broke out, and I was wrestling someone, and someone else picked up a chair and swung it up over their head. I guess they were just playing, but something clicked in my head and said, "Now this is a party." And I dove and I tackled this guy, and the chair went tumbling to the ground, and the kitchen, the cook came out, and the cook started yelling at us, and I simply shrugged my shoulders and thought, why would the cook be yelling at us? In my mind, she was simply the cook. Now, when I get a message from Jerry O'Neill that says, "Please report to my office," then that has some authority to it. That is the president of the seminary. It was his building. And as I lived and had my being in the seminary, I was in his world. You see, the apostle comes with this authority, greater authority than this, as he comes on behalf of Christ Jesus. As we look and we see that Christ had been given all authority on heaven and earth. His name was elevated above every name. And it is this authority that comes and brings the message to you that says, grace. It says grace and peace. And this grace is the grace that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. This grace that comes as we embrace Christ, as we confess our guilt and helplessness, there we are rescued. There we are secure. Having received the message from one redeemed and rescued, having seen that this message comes with the full authority of God Himself, next I would have you embrace this message that is sent to you. You see, Paul was given a specific ministry. He was sent to everyone that was not Jewish. And that is most of you here today. When I went to art school, every now and then a letter would come. And I had moved far away from my home. I was now living in a world that was alien to me. I went from a home that was surrounded by trees to a place where I didn't see any trees. And I remember feeling a bit lost and alone. Now, in my time now, I get lots of mail, and I get lots of junk mail, and if my wife helps sort through it, she'll get the stack and to the garbage, to the garbage, to the garbage. And so often, you get so much of these words, these things that aren't meant for you, these things that are simply garbage, good only for the burn barrel. But when I was in college, every now and again, this letter would come. And it was from my great-grandmother. And although I was far away, although I wasn't even in the faith at the time, when I would have these small letters, and I would see the handwriting, the shaky handwriting of my great-grandmother, and I would see my name on that, there was always this special touch in my heart as I was receiving something that was meant specifically for me. And as we look at the message of Paul, as we look at the gospel, it is something that comes specifically for you. You were predestined from before the foundations of the earth. God has known you from eternity. God knows you into eternity. And the message of grace and peace comes specifically to you now. It is your letter with your name written on it in the handwriting of the King himself. You see, this redemption, although it was for the church abroad and it was for all of us, was also for you. You as an individual, God who knows you, who knows the number of hairs upon your head, the one who is there even tonight when you lay your head on your pillow, the one that you can always speak to, the one who will greet you by name. Hosea 2:23, as it talks about the gospel and the kingdom spreading to you, God said, I sow for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. You see, for you who cling to this gospel, you who embrace this good news in Christ Jesus, God says to you, you are mine. You are mine. And we together, as individuals and as a family, say, and you are my God. Next, receive this message coming to you by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. We see that it is God's purpose and intention that you would receive this grace, that you would receive this message, that you would cling to this message, and that you would be saved. And we see that nothing undoes the will of God. God's plans are never thwarted. You will not be undone as a child of God. If you love Christ, you are rescued. You are secure according to His purpose and His intention. Daniel 4:35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Your salvation has been proclaimed. Your salvation has been made steadfast by the one who formed the mountains with His hands, by the one who holds the sky in place, by the one who carries the clouds to bring the water upon the earth. Your salvation is from the one who turns the earth and causes the sun to rise. It is His will. It is His purpose. Cling to this gospel. Next, receive the message as saints. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints. This word saints means holy ones or sacred ones. We see here that also in verse 1 that we are called faithful in Christ Jesus. So often I don't feel faithful. So often I am not faithful. But our being counted as holy isn't hinging on us. Our being counted as holy is hinging on the faithfulness in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. You see, this idea of being holy ones is also the idea of being ones who have been set apart. You are set apart for good works and good deeds, but you also have been set apart for part to be rescued from destruction. You have been set apart for eternal glory. I would have you imagine a warehouse where there has been a fire. And where this fire has been, the warehouse was full of wooden furniture, and the place was filled with smoke. And much of all of the furniture there had been seemingly ruined. Undone, fit only for destruction. And as the warehouse workers, they pulled everything out and they threw it into a pile and they were ready to light it, someone came along and said, "No, wait, look." And he went to that pile and he pulled out this piece of furniture. It was ugly with the damage of smoke. Not seemingly fit for any good use. And this one said, "I will cure this one. I will repair this one. I will rescue this one." You see, that is you. Set apart. Set apart from destruction. Set apart for good and noble uses. Set apart for good purposes. So that Christ will be glorified. You see, this is who you are. This is who you are, redeemed and rescued by this grace. So in light of what you have received, be overwhelmed with the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. Grace to you. Grace to you. You have been redeemed. You have found love and favor where you only deserve destruction. Grace to you and peace. Peace to you because of this grace. You see, you and I have been in the place where the train was coming. You and I will be in the place where the earth shakes. You and I will be in the same place where Paul was, where the white hot light shines. And the question will be, have you embraced this gospel? Have you embraced this peace? Have you embraced this grace? Have you trusted that Christ died for you? Is this your peace? Because there will be no other peace on that day. The day when the earth does shake. And anything that you cling to, anything that you cling to apart from Christ will fall away. And you will fall. You will fall not to a river, but to fire forever. But if you have embraced this gospel, if you have embraced the love of Christ, that light will shine and it will not burn, but you will be embraced. The earth will shake, but you will be secure. The cry for you tonight is to embrace this grace and this peace that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Our God in heaven, oh, how we rejoice in you. And we would ask now, Father, that if there is any in our midst who has not known you, who has not embraced this good news from your Son, that you would so work in their heart in this moment, God, that they must have your Son, that they would confess their guilt and their helplessness, and that they would be redeemed, that they would have peace, Father, with you. Father, for those of us who have known you for so long, we ask, God, that this old, old story would continuously be our new peace, renewed daily, as daily we call upon your Son, trusting in him as our King and as our Savior. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.